I certainly hope that there's a moment or two for you in the midst of this holiday season that you can maybe catch a little glimpse of the main point this morning as we look at Mary, and particularly with one word that is used in connection with Mary some two or three times scattered throughout the stories. And that word is ponder. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Let every heart prepare him room. Christmas involves multiple opportunities for preparation. Many of you made preparations as long as, a month ago, the Friday after Thanksgiving. Didn't matter that it was only the 23rd of November, because that's your traditional day. That's when you haul out all the decorations and you send somebody outside to put the lights on the tree, on the bushes, and you're doing everything inside, and you got all of the decorations up. You started making preparations a long time ago. Those of you who are traveling or you're already here, you had to make multiple preparations. You had to pack the trunk. You had to make sure that somebody was taking care of the dog. You had to do this. You had to do that. You had to make all of these preparations. You had to get ready. And then those of you who are the gift buyers in your household, you've been making lists. You've been checking it twice. You've been going down. You've had multiple boxes delivered to your home. And you've gone out even a time or two, and you've made all of those preparations. One of Vicki's favorite stories about our family, particularly me in Christmas time, is several years ago, she was looking under the tree on December the 24th, and she didn't see any presents with her name on them. And gift-giving is her love language. It's not mine, which has kind of been a little source of interest throughout the years. And so she came in and she announced to me, she said, you know the malls close early on Christmas Eve. And to hear her tell it, it was as if I was shot out of a cannon. She said, I jumped up and I ran down the hall and I changed clothes and I zipped off to the mall where, according to Vicki, I was just going to get to pick over everything that was left because everything had already been purchased. And she was actually probably absolutely correct in that regard. So we make all sorts of preparation. Advent is the season for preparations. Advent is a time where we're trying to get ready. Well, so how in the world do you go about preparing him room? Well, I mean, what's with that? I mean, it's a sweet line in the Christmas hymn. But let every heart prepare him room. I think we get a couple of hints from the story of Mary. We're just going to look at quickly three specific stories as we go through this morning. And this morning we don't have the scriptures on the screen, so just get your Bibles out, your phones. It's probably phone. That's okay. You know. I still think I'd rather have a Bible in my hand when I'm going to heaven instead of your phone, but you just make that decision yourself. Luke 1, verse 26, and you probably better go King James if just to be on the safe side as well. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great. And will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So the angel comes to Mary with this beautiful statement, "Greetings, favored one." And then Mary responds, and then the angel says, "Do not be afraid." But what's interesting is, in the story, technically, it doesn't say she was afraid, like it did with Zechariah when he's in the temple when the same angel appears to him. We're told that Zechariah was scared out of his mind. He was terrified. It doesn't say that about Mary. What it says was she didn't quite get it. She was perplexed. And in addition to being perplexed, we're told that she pondered what the angel said to her. And then the second story over in the second chapter of Luke. After the angels have proclaimed with their heavenly choir, with the heavenly army, the heavenly host, and so they are proclaiming these amazing words, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And you have the scene of the shepherds, and they are so excited. They're so fired up. They say, "You know what? We need to go. We need to go find this sign of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. We need to go find that baby." And so they took off. And when they arrived there, they were overjoyed. And it says down around verses 17 or 18 that they told everybody that they could run across. And everybody was amazed. In the end of the story, in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told them. And so the image of the shepherds is they're just so excited. And they're just jumping around, and they're telling everybody that they can see. And you can just see them kind of skipping back to their flocks. And then nestled in the middle of all of this joy is verse 19. But Mary treasured all these words, and she pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured, and she pondered. And then the last story in this series of stories is one that we usually don't connect with Christmas, because at this point, Jesus is 12 years old, and his family, well, they've gone to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And they were there for a few days, and then they head back home, and they've been gone for a day, and they realize their 12-year-old is not with them. And more than a couple of moms in the room are thinking, "Seriously? I mean, you didn't make sure your boy was with you? I mean, when you left, I mean, what kind of parenting is that?" And I would just say that you don't need to say anything bad about Mary. I'm sure that it was just a slight oversight, and so she wasn't a helicopter parent. And my guess is most likely she just assumed we got a caravan, we're all heading back to Nazareth, we're all together here. And so it did indeed take a day. And then at the end of that day, well, their response is the response of everyone else. After 3 days, that's panic right there, right? After 3 days, they found him in the temple, Luke 2, verse 46, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed at his understanding. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. But I love this verse. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. But who said something to him? His mama. And his mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this?" I mean, she's shaking her finger when she's saying this as well. "What have you done to us? Why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I," got to throw Joseph in there as well. It's not just me overreacting. "Your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. We have been worried sick." And Jesus' response, He wasn't being a smart aleck. You could read it that way, but the words were simply, "Why were you searching for me? Seriously? I mean, really, you're going to tell your mama that? Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand. And then he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. I almost think that maybe Luke puts that line in the story because he wants to make sure that you understand that Jesus was not being a disrespectful 12-year-old who thinks his parents have just lost their minds. No, it says that Jesus was obedient to them. And his mother, here's the line again, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And so the portrait that we have of Mary is of a contemplative Mary, is of a thoughtful Mary, is of a Mary who does a lot of pondering. You get the sense that in the midst of all of these activities, whether it's the shepherds hop, skipping, and jumping back to their flocks, or whether it's 12 years later in the temple, you get the sense that Mary is the only one who really gets it. She's the one who understands in a way that no one else does. Mary ponders. Ponders defined somewhere as to weigh or mull over in the mind, to put one thing against another, to think about, to examine carefully, to deliberate. Ponder actually is a popular word these days. It's not the word that's used. The word is mindfulness. Maybe some of you have been to a mindfulness seminar. I've not. There's this huge literature on mindfulness that's exploded over the last 20 years or so. And I've started on a whopping one of all those books. But the idea is still appropriate. It's the idea of what Mary does, which is ponder. So, before I offer just a couple of suggestions, not that you have to, but sometimes you need to do that which maybe you shouldn't have to. So, what's the point? Well, I mean, why even bother? Okay, you're taking a little minor point from the story, and you're elevating it, and on this business about pondering, isn't that a stretch? And A, I would say, maybe, but B, have you ever thought about the fact that maybe you miss all sorts of things that are going on for the simple reason that you do not do what Mary did? You don't ponder. You don't think. You do not invite, in a consistent way, you do not invite God into the ordinary activities of your day. You live at some little shallow level, and you never take even a step or two or three in the direction of pondering. Is it possible that you're missing ways in which the Lord would want to speak to you, to communicate with you, because you're simply not thinking? Richard Foster, in his wonderful book on prayer, in the chapter on examine, gives these two or three examples. We consider, for example, whether the boisterous neighbor of last night was more than just a rude interruption of a quiet evening. Maybe it was the voice of God urging us to be attentive to the pain and loneliness of those around us. Perhaps in the glorious sunrise of the morning, God was shouting out to us his love of beauty. Maybe we responded to the divine whisper to write a letter or call a friend on the telephone, and the results of our simple obedience were nothing short of startling. So maybe we're missing God because we're not thinking. And I know you're supposed to put the G on the end of that, but it just sounds more correct in my mind, thinking. You're not thinking. We're not thinking. And then the other reason why that you ought to at least take a step or two in the direction of pondering is what has happened in the past when you've wound up in a ditch, in a spiritual ditch, in an emotional ditch. You wind up in some kind of sin. The last time you wound up in a ditch, I bet you, you would have to say you weren't thinking. Oh, I mean, it was rattling around back there, but you refused to spend any time with it. And you just kind of just willfully just walked on over, and you wound up, and here you were in a ditch. And why are you in a ditch? Because you refused to think. You refused to consider. You refused to ponder. You didn't want to do that. And now look at where you are. You didn't think. Ponder. So, a couple of suggestions. Maybe spend some time with the Jesus Prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Jesus Prayer can be prayed any number of ways. But one that I've used for a long time, you simply hold your hands like this. You get in a comfortable position. You have your hands like this because it's symbolically saying, I'm listening. And you pray. And you pray with your breath. And so you breathe in the first half of the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. This past Thursday, I was praying the Jesus Prayer in that exact same fashion, breathing in the first half, breathing out the second half, and then a most remarkable thing happened. I woke up, and I did not know where I was. I was, one minute I was praying, and the next minute I was sleeping, and then I woke up and I looked at my, I mean, it was one of those, you know, where you wake up and it's like you're not even really sure what day it was. Well, that's what it was. I know you were hoping that it was going to be this killer story of how God spoke to me. Well, all God said to me was, wake up. So if you practice that, also be willing to cut yourself some slack. And for those of you who are thinking, whatever, I mean, that just sounds kind of, let me ask you a question. Do you seriously think if you prayed that prayer every morning or every evening for a year, do you seriously think it would have no impact on your life? You know it would. For others, it's re-engaging in Scripture. Maybe it's dusting off that daily Bible and going through those readings for 365 days a year. Or maybe you just decide to spend time in Scripture with a shorter section of Scripture. Maybe you read through the Psalms. Maybe you spend all week in one Psalm. Maybe it's just writing down Scripture and putting it on a 3x5 card and pulling it out 4 or 5 times during the day. Oftentimes, reading Scripture, spending time in Scripture, maybe just even in the brute work of memorizing Scripture, what that does is it reminds you, this is the kind of person I am. I'm a person who reads the Bible. I'm a person who believes in the Bible. I'm a person who thinks that God's Word has application for my life. And so you go into that harsh meeting, and maybe some words are said, and maybe you kind of regret something that you did, and then you got this card, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and the card reminds you, oh, this is who I am. Others, you might need to watch your mouth. You might need to think about, do you listen? Not just to God. Do you listen to anybody? And for those of you who are married, you know, we're 2 days away from Christmas, so no elbowing this morning, okay? Let's don't resurrect any argument that you had 2 or 3 days ago, because the truth is, my guess is, neither one of you do. Do you listen? If you can't listen to your roommate rattle on about whatever it is they're rattling on about, well, maybe you're not able to listen to God either. For some of you, the absolutely best step that you could take toward pondering is that you select one day a week and you say absolutely as little as possible all day. You're not listening because you are running your mouth all the time. And when somebody is talking to you, You're not listening. You're just thinking of the perfect response. Would you hurry up and stop talking? Because I already know what I'm going to say. And if you keep talking, I'm going to forget what I'm going to say. That might like even apply to the Lord. Others of us, we might ought to take a look at the whole idea of what we allow to come into our heads. From the television to social media to radio to everything in between. And let me quickly say, this year, it's really is kind of a perverse pride. This year, I have gone all the way from A is for alibi to V is for vengeance. I have listened to every one of those Sue Grafton books through the Brentwood Library. I have listened to Kenzie Milhone solve all sorts of mysteries, from Florida to driving to Memphis to driving to home to any number of areas. It's frankly been wonderful entertainment. But my guess is there's been a few times where I should have turned it off and just been quiet. We spend a lot of effort, most of us, not all, but most of us, we spend a lot of effort providing times of to recreate. And we'll spend enormous energies in planning a vacation. And then on the flip side, the idea of taking 2 days in spiritual retreat just sounds weird. Why in the world would I do that? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take 2 hours to go walk through Warner and not even have a podcast going through your ears? Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do something that would help you to ponder? Some of you could, you would have great benefit from a simple Thanksgiving journal. Just get you a cheap notebook and write down every day things for which you are thankful. Or you could even go a second step in terms of the prayer of examine. Where did I see God today? Where did I miss God today? What is it that God would want to tell me today? Mary pondered. And it's more than just, okay, you know, we need to think more. No, it's where it leads, and it's where we're particularly going to focus tomorrow night at the candlelight service. Because what did Mary do? It's not just that Mary was a little introvert and she liked to think a lot. No, no. The angel came to Mary, and what did Mary say? Here I am. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Let every heart prepare him room. You make in any room for Jesus these days. And Father, we pray that you would help us to do that. We pray that you would give us the common spiritual sense to know the steps that we need to take so that we can make room for you. We confess, Father, that sometimes it's just sin that crowds you out, and then sometimes it's just inattentiveness. Lord, we want to make room for you. We don't want to miss where you're leading us. And this is what we ask today, in Jesus' name, and amen.